are listening to Up to Me Radio, the best in inspirational talk radio. It's up to me.
It's up to me to be the very best I can be. And it's up to you.
Good morning as we broadcast live from Philadelphia, and welcome to another exciting and inspirational episode of the Up to Me Magazine Show. Today we are blessed to have with us once again the creative director of After Eden Pictures, co-host of the TV show Insight, and screenwriter for the films 8 Days, I'm Not Ashamed, and We Are Brothers. I'm your host, Gabby G, and if you're new to the program, my mother used to call me Gabby Gale as a little girl because I was born with a gift of gab, a trait that both my husband and son can each attest to, but I say that's okay because I believe that one's greatest weakness is also one's greatest gift. So if you'd like to talk a lot like me or you're just a great listener, please join me in my virtual Gabby G Cafe and be inspired along with me as I introduce to you each morning another fabulous guest to inspire and educate you. Each week, I will welcome our guest and invite you to join me in conversations on various topics that relate to our journeys in awakening and living in our life purpose. I'm blessed and humbled to be a part of this Christ-led team, and I do not take this opportunity to serve as your host for granted. Here at Up to Me Magazine, we love to encourage and empower each other to be the best that we can be. So this program is truly meant to be a platform of voices to be heard and expressed in a safe and non-judgmental environment. In addition, we also love to support our local and regional communities and charitable nonprofit organizations. This week, our focus is on Phil Abundance. Phil Abundance was created in 1984 with the simple belief that no man, woman, or child should ever go hungry. They seek to drive hunger from our communities today and end hunger forever. Through this network of nearly 350 member agencies, including food cupboards, shelters, emergency kitchens, and more, Phil Abundance provides food to approximately 90,000 people per week, 30% of which are children and 15% are senior citizens. Every dollar you give provides 2 meals. If you would like more information or wish to donate to this worthwhile organization, please visit their website at www.philabundance.org. And that's spelled P-H-I-L-A, B as in boy, U-N, D as in A-N-C-E .org. Or simply call 215-339-0900. Well, I'm all about rooting for the underdog and the unsung heroes in life. And sometimes when I watch a movie with my husband, Kurt, I get a little aggravated when the movie's over and he switches the television off. I tell him, hey, I want to see the credits. Put it back on. He's always perplexed why I care about the credits. He says, who watches the credits? I tell him that everyone involved in the production of that film from soup to nuts watches those credits, plus their colleagues, their family and friends in the industry, and people like me from the time I was 10 years old and would watch McHale's Navy after school. At the end of the theme song, there were these flags flying and the words written across them, directed by Hollingsworth Morse. I was impressed with that name and always remembered it. Fast forward 10 years later, working at the credit department at Neiman Marcus in Beverly Hills, I was helping an older gentleman with a purchase, and when he handed me his credit card, the name said Hollingsworth Morse. I could not believe it. I said, you directed McHale's Navy. He was astonished at my young age, I was about 19 or 20, that I knew his work from reading the credits. And I was excited that I got to finally meet Hollingsworth Morse after all those years watching McHale's Navy after school. I mention this because there is so much more to a film or a television show than the actors and actresses that portray them, and not taken away from their talent and their gift. But so much behind-the-scenes talent is painstakingly grafted towards the production that I feel gets lost or unnoticed to the general viewer in the finished product. This year, I wanted to dedicate my show to those that I feel are the unsung heroes in entertainment. The screenwriters, the wardrobe and makeup artists, the casting directors, production assistants, the cameramen, the gaffers, the key grips. So I decided to bring back my very special guest this morning, who I feel is one of those unsung heroes to me. Although raised in the entertainment industry as an accomplished actress, model, and athlete, and has appeared on many national talk shows and events, including her recent appearance on the Steve Harvey Show, and who also teaches modeling and acting to aspiring models and actresses as co-host of the TV show Insight, many of you may not realize that she is transforming cultures through uplifting entertainment with her husband Yaku through their production film company After Eden Pictures. She is also the creative director at After Eden, as well as an accomplished screenwriter for her films as 8 Days, I'm Not Ashamed, and We Are Brothers. We are blessed to have her here with us once again to educate and enlighten us about the art of script writing for the silver screen. So please help give me a very warm and virtual welcome to Miss Philippa Boyens. Philippa, good morning.
Thank you so much, Gabby G. Blessed to be on the show again.
I really appreciate it. And I realize that it's almost this time last year that you had just become a new mother with your beautiful daughter, Arwen.
Yeah.
And here you are just a couple of weeks away from giving birth to your second child. So thank you for accommodating us.
Thank you for having me. Yeah, I'm literally 2 weeks away. We're very excited.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I just appreciate your being here and having to get up early. And now, is Arwen excited about the baby?
I think so. She's very sweet. I know it's going to be a big adjustment from being the only child to sharing everything, but she's very sweet, so it's going to be fun.
Well, I wanted to talk with you about your art of script writing, and I know you're very accomplished in the entertainment industry, and everyone is familiar with your work. But do you kind of feel, or do you agree that sometimes the script writers and the other behind the scenes talent kind of become unnoticed a little bit?
I do, definitely, to an extent. Having grown up in the industry, I started with acting and modeling, and but without words, there's nothing for the actors to do. So it was kind of a learning curve and a learning process through the different productions I was a part of growing up to realize how much actually is involved in the whole process. And it's very much a team effort. And you know, I was thinking about the films that are out right now that I have, 8 Days and I'm Not Ashamed, and you know, just the writing portion took about 3 years.
Wow.
And I think there was pre-production long before that. And I think it usually starts with the writing, and then the producers are involved and get on board, and it's the actors and the makeup artists and everyone like that comes on a little bit later during production. And then post-production can take at least a year, getting the film ready and to distribute. So it's a long process with a lot of people that goes into all those credits. That's why there's so many names listed there.
Well, I have a question. I'm curious. Why did you choose writing in particular? Is it something that you just decided you haven't a genre in the industry that you just haven't tried yet because you've tried everything else, or is that something that is a natural inclination for you?
I definitely feel like it's something God made me to do. I grew up on the performance end, and I can do it, and I'm glad that I learned how, because I think it's made me a stronger writer, and I've taken a lot of psychology courses as well, so just to understand people and to understand how life works and how people think. think it's very important in writing, but I was writing stories, you know, as soon as I could write and read. And I did all throughout high school, but I was about 20 and I was pursuing an athletic scholarship in college and just didn't know where I was supposed to go with life. And I was praying about it and God told me very clearly, I want you to help. Her name is Carrie Redman. She's one of the other screenwriters on I'm Not Ashamed. I want you to help her finish this screenplay. And I had never written screenplays before. Screenplays are very different than books. So like, okay. And Carrie Redman was one of my mother's best friends. And I knew she had been working on this screenplay for probably at least 6 to 8 years. She had been working on it and hadn't finished it. Yeah. And God told me, I want you to help her finish it. And I was like, okay. So I called her and we started doing that together. And that was a really great process, learning and working together. And I just, that's kind of how I fell in love with this media of writing, screenwriting. I think it's the most powerful way to influence people is to see and to feel the music and see the acting. It's a very powerful form of media. And our, you know, our calling with After Eden Pictures is to transform culture. And so I've always felt like that's something God gave me to do that. I'm not, there's a lot of things I'm really not good at, but I can, I think in stories and I feel deeply, and this is, I think, the way that God made me to speak, to use my voice to do that.
Well, you answered a couple of things that I wanted to know as well, but just that is, it's great because I wanted to know what particular skills are needed to become a good writer. So it's interesting to me you took psychology courses to do that because you really have to be able to develop your characters. And so I'm fascinated with that whole process of how do you sit down at a typewriter, your computer, show my age saying a typewriter, but the computer. but how do you even begin to say, okay, this is the character I want to develop, this is what I want her to say, and how do you how do you type that out? Because in script writing, you have to also place them in a scene, and you have to hear sounds that you want them to be, to have in that scene and their thought process. And so for the actors, you have to communicate that in the written word for them. Is that right? Yeah. So that they know how to feel or how to look perplexed. Do you have to write all that in as a directive?
This is so fun to talk about. Thank you for bringing me on to talk about writing. To start with, I very much feel God leading me on a topic or on a story. Like it's something that he brings to my mind over and over again, and I can't escape it. Like it was sex trafficking with 8 days. And I knew about I'm Not Ashamed for probably 6 months before I actually came on board to write it. And it just, God wouldn't let me kind of get away from those things. So I think that's really important because you can write something quickly and it won't really, to me, it may not have your heart in it. I think a couple things, that we can only write from what we know and understand. So to write something that's completely, that you've never experienced or never been a part of, that you've never really dove in and researched and interviewed, it's really difficult and it comes off to me very inauthentic. And authenticity is very important to me in making a good story. It has to be believable. But so you're inspired about this, and then God keeps bringing things to your mind. Research is so important. Just I
agree.
Study and I meditate, and it's just I can't get away from it. I kind of become consumed in projects. Like I felt everything these trafficking victims were going through. Reading Rachel Scott's journals, I felt everything she was going through. And even Dylan and Eric went through a lot of their materials as well, and just was so burdened and felt what they were feeling. And that's the place I think it's important to write from. And that's why acting in psychology is so important to me, to understand people, to understand their thought process, to be those characters, to be in those scenes, and to not direct them outside, but direct them internally. Like, what would they do in the situation? Like, I'm in their headspace. What would they say? How would they interact? And to me, I very much kind of feel like I understood, I guess, a little bit of how God works with us to an extent. You know, He has a plan and purpose for our lives, but He created us. He knows us intimately, but we still make decisions. And that's kind of how I feel with writing. That's my take on it, is I, in general, know where the story's going. I know who these characters are, but when I get into their headspace, I let them make decisions. And so that kind of, it's a fun creative process, and it helps me be authentic as I can be to these characters and these people. And I'm not ashamed in 8 days. We're inspired by real people and real events. So that was very important to me, to be as authentic as possible to those people.
And I can imagine, because you kind of have to take yourself out of it. And you have to take yourself out. Like, I'm not a writer, I'm them. And just writing down what you're feeling about them, or as them, I should say.
Yeah.
And so you kind of feel like that by doing your research and reading their journals. That had to be an amazing experience, trying to understand that, particularly, I would imagine, with Dylan and Eric, who were the ones who committed the crimes for those who aren't familiar with I'm Not Ashamed, they were the ones who did the shootings at Columbine. And so was that hard for you to have to watch? And 8 days, certainly. I mean, oh, my goodness. Is it hard to get into the head of someone who is completely opposite from who you are as a Christian?
Well, I think that's very interesting, because what I've realized is I find parts of myself in them. And even the bad characters, like, I see, my heart breaks for them, and I have a soft spot, I've realized, for the villains, in all the stories I write, because I see their hurt, I see their pain, I see why they made certain decisions. Not that I agree with them at all, but
right.
I want good things for them, and I hurt for them. And I think that, you know, Jesus wants redemption for all people. Like, He created everyone. And so to have that empathy even for the villains makes them more real and more people, because they are.
Right.
So, you know, for Rachel, I felt, is the lead character, and I'm Not Ashamed person. She went through a lot of depression and a lot of dark times, and her personality is not like mine. She's way more bubbly and outgoing, but I could definitely relate to how deep she felt and the dark places in her life. And I can find elements of myself in each of these characters, and that's kind of where I write from, because I do absolutely believe that you can only operate and work from what you know and have experienced.
Right.
So writing from something else, I just couldn't do authentically.
And I think that's kind of a gift, too, to be able, because not everybody's has that empathetic nature. I think that's a gift for your part. That I think that's a gift. Not everybody has that. You can feel bad for someone, you know, but empathy, I think, is different than sympathy. Or do you agree?
Yeah, I've been studying a lot of, I don't know if you know Brené Brown. She's a speaker that's been featured on TED Talks and Oprah a lot, and he talked about sympathy versus empathy, and empathy is just being with someone and feeling what they're going through, and it's kind of a me too thing. Sympathy is more kind of like the silver lining. Yeah, but isn't this great? Or it's going to be okay, kind of thing.
Right.
And I think, you know, I'm all about a silver lining, but I do think that people, we need to be, know that people care and to know that we're understood, that we're not alone. So the empathy, I think, is important in really impacting people.
I agree. When you can empathize with someone and you can feel what they feel, then I think that's more of a proponent to help them through and to promote change. When you can actually, because I think that's what probably jumpstarts change, is when people can actually relate or feel what someone else is feeling, because we are all human, like you said.
One of my life mottos is, I don't care how much you know until I know how much you care.
That's
and
awesome.
I don't, it's very true for me.
Wow.
And that's one of the things, our motto is transforming culture. And I don't believe that you can transform culture or create writing that matters until you make people care. So it's not just giving facts and opinions, but it's, you know, I need to know that you care. That this is worth caring about. And I was thinking, you know, today that Jesus spoke a lot in parables. And I think that's kind of my heart as well, is I explain and I see things in stories. It's something that, I don't know, people can see and relate to, but you can really establish a care about someone in that way.
I think that's a gift to be able to do that. But I love that you you go beyond just what your natural talent is to take psychology courses so you can better understand people for the characters. I mean, that's amazing that you do that. And I wouldn't have thought that that would be something that would be a needed skill. But now I can see why it would be. And that's why your writing is so good. It really is. And one thing I wanted to ask is, is writing for one type of work more difficult than the other? So, for instance, your true life stories or I'm Not Ashamed in 8 Days, do you feel a sense of responsibility for those characters?
Yeah.
If because they're true life. I mean, there's an accountability there for accuracy and for, you know, to portray them in the right light. Did you feel the pressure in while you were writing the scripts for those?
Absolutely.
I can imagine.
8 Days is more inspired. And I guess I'm Not Ashamed as well. But just with 8 Days, I have a responsibility to these victims to tell their story accurately and to, and you know, especially at the time, there were no stories from the victim's perspective. So that was so important to me after I heard their testimonies and met these girls, that wow, people need to know what this is like and what they're going through. And with I'm Not Ashamed, Rachel's mother is very much involved in the project, and she gave the rights to the story for it to be made. So there's a huge responsibility and a huge pressure, not just for Rachel, who I absolutely wanted to love and honor, but her mother as well, and her surviving relatives and family. So it's a lot. And it's interesting that inspired by stories, you have a lot to work with already. So that is a pro to that. But then you have to be very, honoring. There's pressure to make it accurate as possible and to honor everyone involved with stories, fictionalized stories you can make up. There isn't that, but you start with a completely blank canvas as well. So there's pros and cons to both, I think.
I was going to ask you, do you have a preference?
I keep telling myself one day I'm going to write something fun and happy, and I'm very much I'm very much in love with sci-fi and fantasy and all things Lord of the Rings and C.S. Lewis. But
oh, I love
I feel
C.S.
like
Lewis.
Right, he's my favorite.
Yeah, I love him.
I feel like, so good. I feel like right now, you know, God has very much called us to social issues and transforming culture through that. So I'm moving again back into fantasy and sci-fi, and I think there's so much you can say without being completely overt,
right,
in your faith, and still impact culture like Chronicles of Narnia and Lord of the Rings. But I like We Are Brothers is another film that we're working on. It's about racial reconciliation and just loving, knowing and loving all people and seeing the value in every person. And it's so important right now in our culture, and just that we see what God did in every person and their value and their importance. And so it's been a lot of those kind of projects right now.
So We Are Brothers, I guess, can be based on certainly our country's past history. But is it based on one person's particular experience or just as our history as a whole?
Well, We Are Brothers, my husband is from South Africa, so he has a different perspective than most Americans as well. Having gone through apartheid, and his mother was actually, as a teacher, was put in jail for fighting for the rights of, you know, their African brothers. So
Wow. Yeah. His mother? Did I hear that right? His mother?
Yes, his mother. She was a college professor and fighting for, yeah. He's got a very interesting life story. So this We Are Brothers does take place in South Africa. There's an American white family and a black South African family, and some other cultures that are mixed in as well. So it's not inspired by any person's story, but just culture and those kind of things. But it's a big project we're working on, and I need a lot of prayer on as well. I think there's more information on it on our After Eden Pictures website, which is afteredenpictures.com.
That's amazing. Wow. Perhaps I should have Yaku on to talk about. He must have some pretty amazing stories. Do you think he'd be willing to come on? Because I would love to hear that story. I mean.
Oh, yeah. Yaku has a lot to talk about, and he speaks across the country as well. He was a professional athlete in two different sports, two different countries, and he's been through a lot. And can talk about a whole different perspective in South Africa.
I'm sorry. I do know from watching the Steve Harvey show that you two were on, your appearance on there, and Steve Harvey revealed with Yaku and yourself that his own sister was trafficked. And I didn't realize that. So, wow.
And at the time, you know, she was 12 when this started happening, and it was through her, she had a record deal in South Africa, and it was through her manager. They had a single mother. And at the time, nobody used the term trafficking. No one really knew what that was.
Oh.
So it wasn't until much later when she was back in the U.S. that and had to go through a lot of counseling and healing that the family even found out, didn't find out until she was about 25. So,
wow.
Yeah.
And the fact that she lived through it and was able to escape it.
Yes, and she has her own ministry right now. She speaks across the country and starts her own free clinic for women surviving abuse. God has done amazing work in her life, and I'm really proud of her and where she's at and what she's doing.
What an amazing family.
Yeah.
That's amazing to me. Sometimes you just really don't understand people's stories. And this is why, Philippa, I love doing what I do, is to highlight people's stories, because people are so interesting to me. And I think people walk around with a lot of pain that we don't understand they're walking around with, and gone through so many different things. It makes me feel like I haven't gone through anything. And so, I mean, everybody's been, you know, they have their, you know, their times of valleys and in their life. But when I hear incredible stories like this, it just, I'm just amazed by the resolve of people. And I'm also amazed at the Lord, how he can turn such sin and such ugliness and evil into something so beautiful. But Satan means for evil, God means for good. And I'm amazed at the resolve of people like your sister-in-law who have been through the worst of the worst, and then can pick herself up by her bootstraps with the Lord, and through the Lord, and then turns around and can help other people through it. And then that becomes her purpose, and that becomes the silver lining out of that. And she could have crawled up in a ball. And yet she aspires to help other people through it, to educate. And this is what I love about your production company and your works and your films and all that you guys are a part of, because you are very attached to the human spirit. And that resonates with me as well for what I do. And so I appreciate you both so much. And your work is really beautiful and very – it is. It's it really is a ministry to me. I think of After Eden Pictures as a ministry.
It is. Absolutely.
I just appreciate it so much. We have to go to break. I didn't realize what time it was. It's such a great such a great conversation, Philippa. And so I'm going to give you a break and let you take a little breather. And we're going to take 30 seconds and we'll be right back.
It's up to me to be the very best I can be. And it's up to you to do the perfect to me.
Hi, this is executive producer Mel D, and thank you for tuning in. We want to thank today's sponsor, Up to Me Magazine, a new, uplifting, and inspiring magazine with stories of purposeful living, such as Meet the Minimalists, the story and journey of Orion Nicodemus and Joshua Milburn Fields, Less Stuff, More Meaningful Life. An up-close and personal conversation with Will Haygood, author and associate producer of the acclaimed film The Butler by Lee Daniels. And there's so much more. So get your subscription today at up2memagazine.com. And what's your story? Now we return back to our program.
And we're back, and if you're just joining us, we are talking with screenwriter Philippa Boyens. If you would like to call in and make a comment, or you have a question for Philippa, you can call in at 347-324-5246 and press the number 1. And that number again is 347-324-5246 and press the number 1. Welcome back, Philippa, and we were talking with Philippa before the break about screenwriting. I just have a few more questions and things that I wanted to touch on, and they're simple curiosities that I have. Is there really such a thing as writer's block, and have you ever experienced that?
I feel like that is a very popular question.
Is it?
Yeah, I don't think that I experience it to the extent of I've just got nothing, because I'm constantly meditating and researching on different things. So I think people that wait on inspiration, I think that's a bad way to go.
And
you will kind of experience that, oh, I've got nothing thing. But to really just dive in, and even just walking around in a nature trail helps me think and feel. And I'm constantly making notes on my phone about different ideas that come to me. So I'm really never that, empty on ideas. What I do experience sometimes with the block is more of a, I know this is a problem, but I don't know how to fix it kind of thing. And so I think having reviewers and people you trust that you can bounce ideas off of, or you have writing partners that can help you figure out things, because I think by ourselves we are kind of limited. So getting feedback from other people is really helpful when you get to those places.
So you're talking about the challenges. Do you find that writing, and have you written other works that aren't Christian based? So is there a difference? Is there different challenges for writing for Christian and non-Christian, or do you only
I think you can only, again, write from what you know and experience. And I very much believe that you can tell who someone is by what they write, by what they speak. Like Twilight was written by a Mormon, and that you can very much see her morality in her character's choices. And same thing with Harry Potter. You can very much see her morality and what she believes in the characters. So I think we can't help it as people. Who we are comes out in everything we write. And some things may be more overt as far as, but I don't feel like that's necessarily my calling, because it's probably not who I am. I'm more of the parable person. If that answers your question, that's how I feel about it.
Yeah, no, it does. How's the Lord helped you in writing for your projects? And do you have any personal stories that you would like to share? And I'm sure that you do, but do you pray before you write? Are you praying as you're writing? You said you go out into the woods and things come to you. I kind of feel like that God's inspiring you and giving you things in your mind already. Like you said, it's kind of probably just part of who your whole being and who you are. But do you have any like really experiences, like spiritual experiences that you can share?
Sure. Well, I feel like I am when I'm meditating and thinking about this stuff. I feel I'm very much including God in the process and seeking Him and what He wants and praying constantly about it. So I can tell when something out of nowhere comes, I'm like, oh, that was not me. That's too good to be me. And it's just, so I feel those kind of things often. But, and I told you earlier that God just keeps bringing things to my mind again and again. And to me, that's okay. All right. You're trying to get my attention. I'm going to do that. But with 8 days, when we started praying about making this into a film, I didn't know where to start or how to begin, because I started working with a book. I was writing some different stories, victim stories for a book. But I knew we were a film company and God had called us to take this bigger. And so praying about that, and God literally, I see visions, and because that's just how I think. I see things. It's like the movie screen. I see movie scenes. And so I saw kind of the opening scenes of 8 days play out before me. These kids that were kidnapped and they were kept in a basement and kind of like a jail kind of thing. And I saw a child given away by her mother, and I saw the beginning scenes of 8 days. So that was definitely God showing up and showing me. And He does that for quite a few scenes that I've written now. I'll see them play out, and then I try my best to write what He shows me. So those are some things I've experienced.
That's why they're so realistic, because He's giving you all those insights, because they're probably scenes that He sees. of the reality of it. And so have you discovered, so you see these scenes and you write them out, and then as you're doing your research and you're hearing victim stories, you're probably hearing what you've just written. Is that correct?
Yeah, for the most part, I've done, well, I guess it could be varying stages, but for the most part, I'm kind of like reading the Bible to me. Like, you have that base knowledge already of scripture, and then God can speak to you from that scripture when you're not in the Word, because you already have that. And I think he can speak in other ways, but having researched a lot before and during that was very helpful in me understanding, I think, what he was showing me.
Are you able to use your biblical knowledge for your writing as well? Like you were just saying, if you know the Bible, you have its basic foundation, do you find that coming out into your writing, like naturally?
Yeah, I think it's part of who I am, and everything I know and believe comes out. And
that's
sometimes
amazing.
That's very scary. And I will tell you, I've struggled with fear and anxiety a lot, and writing and being so is a very vulnerable thing to put, you know, this is what I saw and this is what I felt out there can be very intimidating. And I remember doing the casting sides for 8 days, and I wasn't able to watch them. It gave me a lot of anxiety to hear people read my words. Like,
my. That's interesting. Because you know what? So what is that like then? I mean, I can just imagine that it's almost like planning your wedding. And then, because I had a little bit of that when I planned my whole wedding, because you're planning in different phases. And then on the day of my wedding, when my reception came, I remember saying, oh, I hope like all the colors that I picked and the table linens I picked and the cake, I hope it all came together to create this beautiful venue and event for my friends and family. I wondered, you know, if all the sporadic choices that I made when they come together, if they look right. And so what's it like when you're writing and then you're sitting down in the theater watching your words come to life, hearing those sounds that you put in? Is that amazing?
It is. It's very cool and very surreal to see. It's such a blessing to be able to see the fruit of your labor and what all the work that was put in, not just by me, but by so many other people. And it was so humbling to have people around that believed in the project and believed in what I wrote enough to make the film and act in it. And it's very surreal and humbling. God's grown me a lot. it's not as bad now. And that's how the enemy tends to attack me, is
right,
all of those kind of things. And God's having to build me up along with my amazing husband, and the team we're with has been very supportive.
I just love that. That's pretty amazing. So I guess it's, I can see where that would be a humbling experience, and I can see where that would be scary too. Do you ever like watch your finished project in the theater and go, "Ooh, I wish I'd have done this different with that scene"?
Absolutely. I think, you know, one of the things related to fear is perfectionism. So that's something I've been fighting a lot. And my brain is very much creative and analytical at the same time, so they fight each other.
Right.
So I actually do a lot of editing as well. So yeah. Nothing's going to be perfect, though. That was a very freeing thing that God gave me, is you don't have to be perfect, and he works through our imperfections. And I think just to really do what you can, do what you're called to, that's all you can do, and let God move through it. It's been very freeing for me.
That's something that I learned through my radio program, going live on radio. That's not something that I have a degree in or anything like that. So it's he's walking me through those things as well. So I can understand that. I think it is a humbling experience to put yourself out there like that. Mm-hmm. And and I'm a perfectionist as well. The first time I listened back to my show, I guess the first 6 months, I counted every that I said. And the Lord spoke to me and said, it really doesn't matter. It's, you know, I have to take myself out of it. I just, you know, I'm here to highlight others and what they're doing. And it really doesn't matter in my imperfections, because he can work through, like you said, he can work through all that. And I think that's just the enemy trying to trip you up and to intimidate you, so you're not out there for him. So you're right. I can relate to that. So I want to talk about some of your other amazing projects while we have time. Okay. Are you able to give us a sneak peek into your next projects, or is that something that you're bound to secrecy until they're in fruition a little bit more?
I've got a couple that are under non-disclosures. And,
there you go, right.
Yeah, with studios that I'm really excited about and hope to be able to talk about soon, but can't right now. I think the latest screenplay is We Are Brothers that I can talk about right now. And it's, you're never going to stop writing until you are, I didn't stop writing 8 days through the editing room. I was still writing new voiceovers. And
wow.
So you're never quite done until it's on the screen. So very much writing.
I was going to ask you, do you do your own rewrites, or do other people, you give them to other people to review and they look for things maybe that you don't see or additional things, or how does the rewrite process go?
I think it absolutely depends. Like for 8 days, it was just me writing on 8 days, but we did send it to several other writers to review and to change. And we actually had Homeland Security Investigation rewrite our break-in scene so that it was really cool, because I didn't, you know, I'm doing the best I can, but it's something I've never experienced or done before. So to having their insight on how things would actually be said and go down was very important. But I'm Not Ashamed had 4 writers and the director wrote on it, so it went through a lot of different revisions as well. So depends.
Yeah, that's I can just imagine. No, because I've been thinking about that scene where, and I love that story, and I wouldn't have thought to do that. Was it your idea to give it to Homeland Security to say, here, I want to make sure that the scene I'm writing is accurate? I can't even imagine thinking about that.
It was such a God thing that Yaku, my husband, as the director, was introduced to these guys, the guys that actually rescue the victims, because, you know, we knew the victims, we knew the different safe houses and organizations, what that was like. But I think that's part of the researching process, is really, and God will connect you to these people, but you might have to go out and reach out to them too, like, what does this actually look like?
Right.
I've got some courtroom cases that, you know, I've never been to court, so I need to talk to somebody who has. So getting that firsthand experience is important in authenticity as well.
And also, a lot of people don't realize this, and the first time you were on the show, we talked about eight days last year, you revealed something so interesting. Oh my goodness, talk about life imitating art. But when you were in the middle of filming in a motel, the break-in scene, the rescue scene, and 3 doors down, that actual scene was taking place, and you had to stop filming.
We actually asked Homeland Security what a good hotel would be to film at, and they said they recommended this hotel because it was somewhere that it happened often, and it did while we were filming. So
that's crazy.
Very affirming to our crew and our cast that this is why we're doing this. This does happen here every day.
That's surreal. That's pretty surreal. Mm-hmm. And did you find, did you sit and, I guess you sat and watched it because you had to, but did you have to make any last minute adjustments because of that in the scene?
At that point, it was, we weren't able to, but
I see.
Our Homeland Security, they'd already gone through with us what would happen in the situation that we had given them.
So you'd see anything different.
To work with them. Yeah.
yeah, I was just curious about that. So I also want to talk about, we have a little bit of time left, and so I wanted to talk about some of your other projects that you do. And I was on your website, I saw Camp 62, and I want to talk about your show.
So Camp 62, we've been working on for probably about, maybe going on 7 years as well. So a lot of these writing projects, they take time. I'm very excited about it. It actually has a lot of psychology and counseling perspective in it and a lot of characters. It's very fun. I'm probably
What's
all
it about?
My husband would let me talk about. I hope to be able to share more soon on that one.
You're under a gag order.
That's
fine. It just looks so good. I was like, oh, I want to talk about that. And also, I know you can talk about your show Insight, which I love too. And can you talk about your co-host there as well?
So Insight has become an inspirational vlog, more like daily devotions that are a film that you can watch online. And we've expanded it to include hosts, girls from around the world, different ages and ethnicities and perspectives, but it's all with the heart to encourage, inspire, and transform. So just growing up in this industry and just the culture we live in, there's so much negativity and so much pressure to, be perfect and be certain things, and we're constantly cut down. So just felt like we needed to be encouraged and to know that we're loved and that we matter. And so that's what we're doing at insightscene.com. And it's been really fun, a good way to use more different gifts.
Yeah, and I really love that you come together with your collective, because one of your co-hosts was a former beauty queen. Is that correct?
Yes, she was a Miss South Carolina teen and a Mrs. America, I think. I always get the USA and America wrong, but yeah. She comes from a different perspective.
Yeah, and I love that. And I love the name because you are giving your insight, because you all were raised in the industry or have those experiences that, most of us haven't. And I think it lends itself to a ministry of sorts for young women to help them see themselves in the right perspective. And you have that insight because you've been on the other side of that perspective and probably have gone through some things to bring you through that. And I love how that your audience is young women. And so to that note, I was really loving your Beyond Beauty conference that you have. So can you tell us about that as well?
Absolutely. We just had one in Charleston, South Carolina. We do seminars and conferences, and this features Kim Baldwin, Austin Williams, and myself, and we go through just the pressures of society and the entertainment industry. And I think it's very important that kind of know what we're up against so that we can fight this battle. Know what you're up against, know who you are, and break some of the things that we've believed and spoken over ourselves to know that we are loved and truly beyond beautiful. So we go through, we've got seminars and activities, and it's a lot of questions and meditation and working in groups. And it's been very impactful to a lot of women. And I'm very blessed to be a part of that because it's very important to us that these women are set free and know who they are and that they're loved and they're valued so that they can be who they're called to be and impact culture. Because I absolutely believe we're called to bring God's kingdom to earth. That's part of why we're here. And we can't do that if we don't believe that's who we are and why we're here and that we're valued and loved and have a purpose.
And that's why a lot of, I think, women actresses fall into that pressure to get a lot of plastic surgery, to be eternally 25 years old. And I think there's a beauty in growing old gracefully. I'm not saying, I had my nose fixed when I was coming out of high school. myself. I had a big nose. It was crooked. And yeah, I did. And I was made fun of and all that stuff growing up because of it. And so I did have a deviated septum. So my mom and dad, out of their compassion for me, said, you know what? You want to get your nose fixed? We'll pay for it. The doctor said she has a deviated septum. And my mom and dad said, you know, you think you could straighten it out cosmetically and cut a half an inch off? And so they did. And that, and today they wouldn't do it that way. You'd have to have separate operations and all that stuff. But back in the 70s, they did that. And it gave me a confidence that I never had before. And it was a world of difference for me. So in those respects, I feel like simplistic surgery is okay. But I'm talking about the pressure to stay young and to look beautiful, where some people get obsessed with their plastic surgery. And, you know, I
hate how our culture just constantly tears people down.
Yes, I do too.
Little, like, stuff that doesn't matter at all.
And right.
Something that is so heavy on my heart that with Insight and all these projects is speaking life over people and blessing people. You know, no matter what they've done or who they've been, we are called to speak life and to call what God's put into them out of them and raise that up and encourage that and exhort that. And it breaks my heart, all the negativity we speak over each other and over ourselves. And I know those little things can help so much that you went through and did, but just, that people, you know, were bullying you about that just makes me.
That was a lifelong comment. Like, and so, and so it can, it takes away your confidence. And I'm just being real. I mean, growing up. And so I felt like I got my my confidence back because I felt like I could look at people without them just, I even had, because I aspired to be an actress back then, I had a director tell me, you need to get your nose fixed. And so I thought, you know, I'll never get jobs or work or anything because all I kept seeing was, when I looked in the mirror, was my big crooked nose. So what you do really is really, it speaks to me personally. And, I wished that, that I had these resources when I was growing up. And so that's why I value what you do. And I really do. And so, on that note, unfortunately our time's up and we have to begin to close out our program, but it's always so much fun talking to you. You have such a wealth of knowledge and you have such a gracious spirit and heart for the Lord. And I just really can't thank you enough for coming back to our program under your own circumstances. I know you're about to give birth and it's a lot though. And I appreciate it. And you're Central Time, so you have to get up an hour earlier. And I just really appreciate you a whole lot. And I hope you don't mind, but I would like to close out our segment with a short prayer.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Lord, thank you so much for the honor and just the privilege that you give me each week to highlight those like Philippa and Jakub Wojans, who use their Christ-filled talent with such passion to reach the hearts of others for you. And I just thank you for the important work that they do. And I ask that you bless and protect them in their future projects as well. And Father, we also thank you so much for all the unsung heroes in the world, those who work behind the scenes in the everyday aspects of life on a daily basis, whose hard work and talents may go unnoticed or unrecognized and very often unappreciated, but they are not unrecognized or unappreciated by you, for you see all things. So, Lord, in the coming weeks, I pray that you will be with Philippa and Yaku as they deliver another strong and healthy child into their talented and faithful family. And together, they are building a true legacy for you. And so we just thank you and praise you. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, if you would like to follow the impactful work of Philippa Boyens and her production company, After Eden Pictures, you can go to her website at www.afteredenpictures.com. And that's AFTERED as in David, EN Pictures, PICTURES.com. At this website, you can check out her latest projects and films, television shows, and information for the Beyond Beauty Conference. There's also an opportunity to purchase her film products and DVDs. To purchase the movie I'm Not Ashamed, simply go to www.imnotashamedfilm.com. imnotashamedfilm.com. On social media, you can follow After Eden Pictures on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Instagram, and IMDB, respectively. The Up to Me magazine show will be back next Saturday morning at 10 a.m. with another fabulous guest designed to inspire and educate you on your own personal journey. So mark your calendars and meet me here at the Gabby G Cafe. And on behalf of Mel D and myself and the entire cast of Up to Me Radio, this is Gabby G saying take five this week and be inspired to ask yourself about your own Up to Me moment. Then come back and share it with us, because you know what? It's your life. It's your moment. It's up to you. Take us out, Mel D, with our fabulous theme song, Wake Up, by Blessed Love Gospel Reggae Band.
It's up to me to be the very best I can be. And it's up to you. Things right.
up and say, wake up, Danny.